What if your Christian freedom is actually destroying the very brother Christ died for? Today we're asking a hard question. Is love more important than liberty? We'll go straight into Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and unpack when your rights should take a backseat to your brother's weak conscience. Stay with me because this could completely change how you use your freedoms. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, we are in our series called Absolutes and Principles of Conscience. And this is from Romans chapter 14. And we have been going almost word by word, verse by verse at least. And so we've been diving into God's word together. I hope that you've enjoyed it. I think this is one of the reasons why we go through books of the Bible is because I don't know that I'd be preaching on this otherwise. I don't know that we would daily get into what is a principle of conscience. And so today, I don't even know if I agree with today's so far. Love is more important than liberty. And we got to talk about it. We got to dive in and think about it. Is love more important than our liberty, our freedoms? And what does liberty mean and what does love mean and all those kind of definitions. So if you're encouraged and you are enjoying this series, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. It does help us out to lay a firm foundation. I see a lot of monthly donors starting to come in. I want to encourage you that if you're on that fence trying to make a decision, we would love to talk to you about our mission, our vision, and just really see if it's a fit that this is something you want to invest in as we take the gospel message all across Washington State. And we do that in a lot of different areas of or spheres of the public square. And so we want it to go into every workplace, every place that you can imagine, including the government. So let's read verses 14 through 16. It says, I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. And here's our verse for the day. For if it is because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we're going to focus in on verse 15. For if it's because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking in love. And this is one of those things that is like I've always struggled with, I think, in the Christian realm is if someone is just easily offended about every little single thing like food, you know, do I say, well, it's not a big deal to me, so I'm just going to do that. Or do I have this heart that says, man, if I truly love them, how do I serve them best? And this is a struggle because I think sometimes people use their hypersensitivity to control us, right? They're sensitive about everything. Everything is offensive. Everything is this. And so you start walking on eggshells around everyone, and you sometimes find yourself unable to communicate or be a part of different things because somebody's going to be offended, right? But yet, I don't know if that's what it's saying. I'm not sure. We know that the cross is offensive. It's a stumbling block. It's one of those areas. But is that what he's saying here? Or is this more like, hey, come over for pizza and we're going to sit down and eat pizza together when I know pizza is a stumbling block for you? Is this more of an in-your-face kind of thing? Or is this a walking on eggshells? So let's look at it close. For if because of food, your brother is hurt. So remember, we're not talking about an absolute here. He just said everything is clean. But if it's because of food, your brother is hurt. If you throw that up into their face, you are no longer walking according to love. In other words, you're not being patient with your brother. You're not being kind to your brother. You're not being truthful to your brother. You know, it's one of those areas that we need to look at. We're walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Now let's go over to 1 Corinthians 8. And let's look at this next verse in verse 11. For through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined, the brother for whose sake Christ died. And so by sinning against your brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. So this is actually talking about not caving in to every easy offense that is there. This is talking about a weak conscience, someone who holds a firm belief in something. And then how do we love them? By serving them well. It says, therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. It's coming back to that food realm again. This doesn't mean, I think it's important to understand, is you're sitting at a restaurant, you're with people who are comfortable with what you're eating and the things that you're doing, and then someone comes by and they see it and they're like, oh no. This, I believe, is talking about when you have someone over or when you are going out to dinner and you specifically know that something is a stumbling block for your brother. So let's say like your brother is an alcoholic. And maybe by yourself having a glass of wine is not a big deal, but when you are with this individual, you know that that's going to make them stumble or get drunk. So this is what this is talking about, is the idea that you are making them actually stumble because you know it's a weakness of conscience for them. And so there are things that, about food and drink and about days that, you know, Paul keeps mentioning that we need to be careful. And how do we love our brother in those areas? How do we care for them? So let's look at an absolute truth for today. It says, I'm called to persevere in doing good in Galatians 6:9. Complements this idea of how do I serve. So let's go to Galatians and let's start in verse 7. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But to the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And this is that idea that we begin to ask, where are we sowing to? Are we sowing to our own pleasure? Like, well, they just need to get over it. It's their problem. It's their, their weakness. And so I sow to my flesh because that's just who I am. Or do we sow to the Spirit? Hey, how can I assist and outlove my brother who's weak in this area? Let us not lose heart in doing good. So doing good towards our brother is important. For in due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people and especially to those who are the household of faith. So that is our absolute. How do we have a heart in doing what is good? Now, I know that I've been in enough conversations to know that for some, when you bring up Jesus, they just get upset and frustrated. And you say, don't bring up Jesus. That offends me. Okay. There's a big difference between the absolute of Jesus and our food. There's a big difference between the absolutes of the Word of God that are clearly defined by the Word of God than what day we worship. See, there are areas that are preferences that we hold, yet we somehow have to find a way to love our brother and make sure that we're not putting that thing that we could have a variance about in front of them, and finding a way to honor our brother's weak conscience. It's a struggle at times. So we think that these choices that we make, our daily choices can be very, very simple, but love may require us surrendering something that we have a freedom in. We may have freedom to eat bacon. We may have a freedom to worship on Sunday. We may have a freedom to worship on Saturday. We may have a freedom to worship any day of the week, but we need to surrender to someone who has legitimate concerns over that. So in other words, if I know that someone doesn't eat meat, it's not a big deal for me to have a salad for the day when I'm spending my time with them. So Christ died for our brother or sister, and you may be tempted to not be willing to lay down your life for them. You may be tempted to maybe even wound them, to be kind of in their face, you know, inviting someone over who is struggling with weak conscience in a certain area and just throwing these things right into their face may be a temptation. But you want to be a person who does good and you do it in love, and you give that extra mile or you go that extra mile so that the person knows that you care for them and that you respect them, even though they know your position may not align with them. So, principle of conscience, absolutes. You know, we got to think about those categories as we go throughout our day And going back to Romans here real quick, it's very clear. It says, hey, understand that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so getting back to those basics of where we are. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. And that's where we need to self-reflect and allow God to speak into our hearts and into our minds. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, give us the wisdom of what makes our brother stumble. Help us to be like Christ, who's willing to lay down his life for our friend, for our brothers, for our enemies, for those around us. Yet, Lord, let us to stand absolutely firm on your truth. Lord, we know we can lay down our emotions, we can lay down our desires to be right, or we can lay down a lot of different things. And God, so we just lay those before you. We say, have your way across Washington State, God. Have your way across each and every county. Have your way in our mind and in our hearts. And Lord, we want to glorify you. We don't want to be a stumbling block for our brothers. God, we want to care for them. We want to love them. We don't want to destroy them with food or days or preferences that we may have. God, let us stand in righteousness and holiness and peace with you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now get out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you in your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.